1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin to read in verse 17. The Bible says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, now this is my body, which is broken for you. This shall do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for another wonderful day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the choir singing tonight. I pray that it honored you. But what a joy it is to be here tonight and that to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And Lord, tonight we pray that if there's one that is in the midst of our voice, that can hear our voice, realizing that they're lost, I pray that they might get saved tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just bring that place of repentance, and we know that you'll save them if they'll come to you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us while we might preach. We need anointing and that from heaven. Lord, we just need a touch afresh from you tonight. Lord, that we might be able to preach with an unction from the Holy One. Lord, we want this to be exciting tonight for folk to really realize what you've done for them and done for me. And Lord, it is exciting to me, and I thank you for the excitement down on the inside tonight. But Lord, as we preach tonight, might we really see what you done for us that day at Calvary in giving your body and shedding your blood. Lord, we ask tonight for the one that has a need, meet that need. And we'll give you the glory for it all. Help now tonight and save that sinner's nearest tale. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul is laying out for the Lord's Supper, I had a preacher ask me the other day, he said, "When do you have the Lord's Supper?" And I, in the morning or at the nighttime? I said, "Well, we generally have it at the nighttime. It is called supper, ain't it?" Amen. You eat supper of the nighttime. A little humor there. You can laugh, okay? That'll be about the last joke I probably make tonight. Listen tonight, but we find that the Apostle Paul, as he is dealing and that with the church at Corinth about the Lord's Supper, he told them in verse 17, he said, "I praise you not," he said, "that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Do you realize that when we come to church, that it ought to be for the better? When we come to church and that for the Lord's Supper, it certainly should be for the better. But he said, "You're not coming together for the better, but it's for the worse. And he begins to tell them, he said, look, there must be divisions among you. There's got to be heresies among you. I mean, they couldn't agree on doctrine. They couldn't get together on things. Listen, when it came to the Lord's Supper, they only cared about themselves. It talks about right here, he said, you just don't come. And that to eat the Lord's Supper is a gluttonous feast. And I really believe that's what they were doing. They had made a great big party and that of the Lord's Supper. He said, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. And he comes down here in verse 33. He said, when you do come together to eat, he said, tarry one for another. Listen, I mean, one that was going to eat, he was running ahead of the other, if you let me say that. I believe there was probably rich and poor there. Some was not getting to eat at all. Some was drunken. But the idea that Paul was trying to get them to see more than anything is they were not taking this feast seriously tonight. I believe tonight, as you've heard me say this morning and tonight already, that this is a very serious time. It is a solemn time that me and you to remember and that some things. And so Paul said, he said, look, I'm not going to praise you in this, but shame you in it because of what you've done. And then in verse 23, he begins to lay out what God had given him. Three things tonight with the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to partake of it. But tonight, as I look at the Lord's Supper, I see, first of all, that night of betrayal. If you look in verse 23, he said that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now listen, tonight, we understand the story and know the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was Judas Iscariot that betrayed the Lord. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now I couldn't imagine being in the Lord's seat and being in his shoes tonight to know. Listen, this ain't when he was going to Calvary, when he made that statement in John 6. This was at the very beginning of his ministry, if you let me say that. And he already knew that Judas was going to betray him. You can take your Bible tonight and go to Luke chapter 22. And it begins to talk about the betrayal in Luke chapter 22. The Bible said, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priest, let me say this tonight, that it was no accident that Christ was crucified at Passover time. You need to get that tonight. This is sure as in Exodus chapter 12 that God instituted and that the Passover for the children of Israel to come up out of the land of Egypt. Listen, Jesus and that was the precious Lamb of God, and that was going to set all mankind free tonight. And the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad. Now look at that. Listen, here comes Judas. He's come to the Pharisees, those that wanted to get Christ and to kill him. And he shows up on their front doorstep and says, how much would you give me if I could give you Christ Jesus, the Lord, or at least Jesus Christ and that of Nazareth? And it said they were glad. Listen, and they coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And see, it was the multitude and that was believing in Christ. And listen, can you imagine what Jesus and that remembered what Jesus and that knew. Listen, as he is getting ready to go to Calvary, think about it for just a second. As he's getting ready to go to Calvary now, and he knows he's having the Passover. He's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. Judas is there, and he tells him, he said, look, one of you all's going to betray me tonight. One of you all is going to give in. And they all look at each other and wonder who it's going to be. And they're asking, they're saying, is it me? Is it I that's going to do that? And Christ looks at Judas and tells him, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Listen, and he goes and betrays him. And they celebrate that, the Passover, and leave and go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We find him on this night as he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, that he's betrayed, that he takes his disciples, and he goes, and he has Peter, James, and John to go a little further with him, and then he goes a stone's throw from them, and he says, Father, as he bows down, and that to pray, he says, Father, I let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He come back, and he found his disciples asleep, and then he kicked them on the shoes, and woke them up, and said, can you just not watch with me for 1 hour? Listen, Christ is fixing to be betrayed. Christ is fixing to go to Calvary. He's fixing to bear in that the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. God the Father is fixing to apply and impute to him my sin. And listen, can you imagine what Christ is going through? He was in the same flesh that me and you are in tonight, except he was 100% man and 100% God. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. But as he gets over there in the Garden of Gethsemane and begins to pray, as his sweat became his great drops of blood, friend, he began to ask God again. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Can you imagine what he was going through? Can you imagine knowing that he's fixing to be betrayed? He knows that they're fixing to come and get him and take him. He knows that they're fixing to try him erroneously. He knows that the one that he had chose is the one that's going to betray him. Listen, in John chapter 13, Jesus begins to talk about prophecy. And he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalms chapter 41, he said, yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And so we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that he said in the night that he was betrayed. Listen, I don't know if you can get this. I don't know how well that I'm doing with it tonight. But get in your mind that Christ, knowing that he's going to be betrayed, still goes over and prays and says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And boy, he cries out to the Heavenly Father. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that tonight. I'll be honest with you, church. As he prayed in agony and in more agony, the Bible tells us, I can't imagine what he was going through. And we know that here comes Judas and a band and that from the temple over there. And they come with staves and swords and lanterns, and they come and get him. And he betrays him with a kiss upon his cheek. And you know what? They said he asked them, who you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what he said? I am he. Well, now they just didn't know who they was talking to. Because when he said, I am he, they all fell backwards. And as dumb as they were, they got up again. And he asked them, said, who do you look for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I've told you, I'm him tonight. Well, the great I am standing there before them when he said, I am he. You know, I am the door. I am the bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am he. He knows he's going to be forsaken. He knows that he's been betrayed. And on that night, he knows that all his disciples is going to leave him. He knows that he's going to have to face this thing alone. John goes in and sits in the crowd. Peter stands out by the fire. And where the rest of them are, we don't know. But here stands Jesus alone. And so we find that Paul tells us on that betrayed night in verse 24 that when he had given thanks. Now that's amazing to me that the Lord knew what was coming. And the Bible said that when he had given thanks. Can you imagine as he was celebrating the Passover? We don't celebrate the Passover. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine that as he was celebrating the Passover, which would become our Lord's Supper, that, listen, that he gave thanks for that bread. And he said, and he broke it and said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This will do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So we find that that night that he was betrayed, that he took that bread and he took that cup, which represented his broken body and his blood that was going to be shed for us. And when we look at this thing tonight, when we look at the bread that we're going to partake of here in just a little bit, I want you to remember what Jesus went through for you. I want you to remember that he went to Calvary. I want you to remember that he, first of all, that not only did he go to Calvary, but listen, they took him down there and they tried him, didn't they? And when they tried him, and listen, that they thought he misspoke. He said what he wanted to say. And listen, one of them that was standing over there next to the high priest reached up there and smote him on the cheek. And boy, I'm telling you, after they smote him on the cheek, they bound him up and they took him in that. And by the way, you had to bind up the sacrifice when they tied it over there and that to the horns of the altar and that of the sacrifice. Listen, they bound that thing up. They bound him up and took him and that to Pilate. And they bring him over there to Pilate, and Pilate tries him. I listen, over and over and over again. Pilate keeps telling them, I can't find nothing wrong with him. I find no fault in him. I believe three times Pilate told him, I find no fault in him. Well, if he'd have found any fault in him, he couldn't have helped us, could he? If there had been any fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd have been no way that he could have went to Calvary and died for my sin and died for your sin tonight. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Talking about the precious Son of God, the Lamb of God. You know, John over in the book of the Revelation had to be seen. Boy, I believe it's Revelation chapter 4 or 5. He said he seen him as a lamb that had been slain. In John chapter 19, the Bible said, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. You watch all it says about that. Don't talk about how they beat on him and how they whipped him unmercifully. All they said is they took him and they scourged him. But the Romans, man, I mean, they were in the wholesale business of scourging people. They knew how to do it. They knew how to do it to make it hurt, but make it last. And friend, I can't imagine everything that Christ went through. It says what? Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He took him out there and he tied him up and he began to beat on him. That's what they done. They done that because of your sin and my sin. Whew. Ain't you glad for Jesus tonight? Said they took him and they scourged him. And I can't imagine. Boys, they tied his hands up. They tied him to that post. And That Roman soldier reached back, began to whip on him and beat on him, and people stood around and mocked him and spit on him as the flesh come tearing off. I mean, hey, the Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 52 how that his visage was marred more than any man. Psalms chapter 22, I believe, talks about how that his bones stared at him. Listen, I believe that he didn't even look human when they got done with him. They beat him to death almost. So the Bible tells us, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. I'm just so thankful for Jesus tonight. I don't have to die alone. He took my place. That excites me tonight, church. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put his on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. He's been scourged. He's been beat already. They come over there and they put that crown of thorns that they had platted and put it on his head. Bible tells us at another point that they put a rod in his hand, and they took that rod from his hand, and they took that rod and they beat that crown of thorns down on top of his head. And then the Bible says, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring you forth. I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him." And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." You know why Christ was able to die for our sins? Because he was the man. He was 100% man. 100%. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again unto the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." He's went from "Behold the man" to "Behold your king." Well, I'm telling you, Pilate just didn't know what he was saying. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They took him and hung him up for my sin. He had a broken body. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Listen tonight, Jesus gave Himself. Jesus sacrificed Himself for me and you tonight. He shed His blood for me and you tonight. Do you know that the Lord has required the shedding of blood since the beginning of time? Was there not some animals that had to die over there and that in the book of Genesis to cover Adam and Eve's sin? Something had to die and something had to shed its blood. You find in Exodus chapter 12, when the children of Israel come up out of the land of Egypt over there, He told them to put up that Passover lamb from the 10th to the 14th day and that of the month, and watch it and try it. Make sure there wasn't nothing wrong with it. And on the 14th day, when God said do it, He said take that lamb. He said kill that lamb. He said catch its blood in a basin. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in that basin and put it over the doorpost and on the lintel. And He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They could have killed that lamb, knocked it in the head. I throwed it over in the bushes. It had never done no good. But they had to shed its blood, and that for sin. Can I tell you, Christ was the same way. It was a vicarious death, and that for me and you, but His blood had to be shed. The Bible said that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Somebody, something had to give its blood for my sin. You know, all down through time, when God looked down on that mercy seat that sat inside the tabernacle and inside the temple, He just pushed them sins from one year to the next. That's all He was doing. He was just covering sin. From one year to the next, He was just pushing it off till they got to Calvary. Listen, the Bible tells us in Revelations 1 and 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. What Christ has done for us. Listen, He gave His body, but He shed His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 said, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'm so glad He shed His blood. We sing about the blood, don't we, a lot of times. Page 390, there's power in the blood. Wonder, work, and power in the blood. We sang it out of the black book, "It took the blood." Listen, have you been washed in the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus tonight? You got to come to Him and get that blood applied. Do you say, "Preacher, when I come to get saved, do I got to ask for?" No, you come and get saved and you just get all that. See, I didn't realize all that when I got saved. You know, I'll never forget, I had a lady, man, I was having a bad Friday. I was in the middle of revival. And I was preaching over to nursing home that morning, and things wasn't going just exactly right like I needed them to. And I was preaching on getting saved. And when I got done preaching, and she was a visitor, and she came up there and she said, "Preacher, you didn't say nothing about repentance and the faith." I'm like, come on now. We can split hires seven different ways from Sunday. Listen, when you come to get saved, you're going to repent of your sin. I see it all together. When you come trusting Christ, you're going to come, you're repenting, you want to get saved. You are sorry for being a sinner. I mean, that's what we do when we got saved. Amen. Do you not come sorrowful? I did. I didn't understand everything, but I understood that I was lost and He could save me. And I come and got saved. Amen. And that's all it takes. But His blood, let me get back to His blood. You know, His blood redeemed us. You know, the Lord was happy with His blood. What was it that the Bible tells us over the book of Hebrews at one time that He entered into the holies of holy one time with His blood and made atonement for us? I'm still excited about being saved tonight. But He redeemed us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Ain't you glad to be redeemed tonight? We sing page 277 sometimes. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. He said, and to purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Even in our sins, Christ came to die for us. He says over at one point, I believe it was in the book of Matthew, when he talks about shedding his blood, that it was for the remission of sins for the whole world. It's wonderful tonight. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. And that back to the Father. You don't talk about a verse, 2 Corinthians 5. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ. Now, ain't that something? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's not imputed our trespasses unto us. Ain't you happy for that tonight? I mean, not to have your sins imputed to you, but to have his grace and mercy imputed unto us tonight. That's wonderful. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. And it even shows us right here that it foretells of a return, because if you look in verse 26, he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. He is coming, by the way. That tells me he's alive. So we find that there was a night of betrayal. There was a broken body and bloodshed. But then there is a beware down here in verse 27. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I think as Paul is talking to the church here about the way they were partaking and that of the Lord's Supper. We preach this a lot of times, and I believe that it applies that you need to be right with the Lord when you partake of the Lord's Supper. One, this is a believer's supper tonight. You need to be saved to partake of it. One, I really believe you need to be right with the Lord to partake of it. But as we do it tonight, I believe that Paul is trying to warn us and trying to warn the church over here not to keep taking it the way they're taking it. That this is something that is very important. This is something that he talks about not discerning the Lord's body. He says, look, he said, when you partake of this thing, you need to discern the Lord's body and his blood. It should be important to you. This should be a time of remembrance and of reflection, that we just remember what Christ has done for us. As a matter of fact, during this time, he said, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, as he's talking about eating the Lord's Supper, he said, tarry one for another. He said, if you're hungry, he said, if any man hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. He said, look, it's not to come and eat, but it's to come to remember. When you partake of this, it's to remember the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a beware to us tonight in verse 28 that we need to examine ourselves in light of the Lord's word tonight, in light of him. So I would encourage you tonight, as we're going to get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you, well, let's just bow our heads across the house tonight. We're going to have no music tonight. But let me say this, that if you need to come up and get around this altar and want to come pray, I encourage you to come pray. Listen, we're going to tarry one for another tonight. We're not going to get in no hurry. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come and pray. So I'm already praying. If you want to come, I want you to come tonight. But as we come, I want you to look at your motivation as to why you're going to partake of this supper this evening. And I want you to examine yourself and look on the inside tonight and say, Lord, as I partake of this supper, one, I want you to look to make sure that there ain't nothing between you and the Lord tonight, but as we partake of this thing, that we're coming with our right motivation tonight, and that the Lord would be pleased with us as we partake of Him, to remember what He done. If you need to come tonight, I want you to come.